Hope that we'll have a chance to get to know you today. We appreciate you being with us. Jim Flowers, will you lead us in a prayer in just a moment? Are there any prayers that are unannounced or that we're not aware of? Anything that has come up that we need to be aware of for our prayer this morning? Ozzie? Yeah, they got a couple inches of snow up there. Really strange for October. Actually, I think they got closer to 15 in some places. So they really snowed in up there. That's right. We don't do that until January, every couple of years. Okay, Jim? So last week we were in chapter 6 of our book, which is your influence and keeping a good Christian influence in the community. This week we would be on chapter 7, which is having a good influence on the job. And we are going to mesh those two together this week because we only got about halfway through last week's lesson and actually only about a third of the way through. And I think a lot of the points that we talk about, and if you look at the two lessons, if you have a book, but I have a book, so I can tell you that when I look at the two lessons, there's a lot of overlap. So it's a lot of the lessons we're going to talk about, a lot of things we're going to talk about today, and that we talked about, some of which we talked about last week, apply to our influence that we have in our neighborhood or our neighbors that we work with. So we're going to talk about those things as well, and we're going to talk a little bit about our personal behavior and some things like that that can lead to influence problems or a negative influence towards the church. Now, remember that the point of this lesson, and the point of these lessons, one of the themes of these lessons that we've been talking about in this class is that we're trying to influence people to come to church with us. And to want to be a part of the family of God that we're members of. So one of the things we try to do is we try to reflect the church onto others, onto those around us, so that when they see us, they see the church. Not only do they see Jesus Christ himself in us, hopefully, they see the teachings of Jesus, the Word of God, in us. They see the teachings of the apostles in us. But they also see the Cary Church of Christ. If we're members of this body here, they see the Cary Church of Christ in us when we go out into the world. So it matters what they see. It matters what they see. It matters whether they, if they see us doing good things, being a good, strong Christian, that's great. If they see us not being that, then they see a negative light on the Cary Church of Christ. Hopefully, people know that you're a member here, if you are, and hopefully people are then encouraged by the way you are to be a member here. And the question that we asked ourselves last week is, if, and we've asked this a couple times, is if someone were, if the whole church were like you, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? Or were like me, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? And if everyone at our church was like me, or like us, would people want to come here? Would people want to be a member of the Cary Church of Christ if the whole Cary, if everybody in the church was just like me? So, don't answer that. So that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. So one of the things we talked about last week, so we talked about community, we talked about our neighbors, and you know, we offended a few people last week, and that was a lot of fun. We're going to try to do a little bit of that, a little bit less of that this week. But we definitely talked about some things that are sensitive in that, you know, it matters what happens in our lives. It matters the decisions we make. And sometimes it's the small little decisions. Sometimes it's the big decisions. Those things matter as far as our influence is concerned. What we talked about was, if you'll remember, we talked about that we need to be an influence in our community, a good Christian influence in our community. We need to practice what we preach. We need to be friendly. We need to take pride in our community. And that really talks about, and I had some help last week, you know, communicating this better. Really what that means is being good stewards of what's been given to us. So we are good stewards of ourselves. We're good stewards of our property. We're good stewards of the blessings that God's given us. And we're good stewards of our money. We're going to talk about that a little bit more today. And we're going to talk about being good stewards of our funds. And we are good stewards of our community in that we will participate in community actions or community things that improve the community. So those types of things are kind of self-respect ideas or ideas of really taking care of what God's given us. We talked, I think we talked for a minute about how we should not be participating in gossip in the community, in our neighbors. Not so sure that happens in the neighborhoods like it used to back in the day. I've found that in my neighborhood there's not a lot of neighborhood gossip because there's really not a lot of fellowship in my neighborhood. I think that is something that's changed over time. I don't think that's just the neighborhood I live in, but I don't spend any time with my neighbors, my next-door neighbors or people across the street, you know, in having cookouts, things going on evenings. I think just our lives are so diverse that there's just not a lot of overlap there. It's probably something I could work on and reach out and maybe be a bigger part of, but I'm not seeing a lot of that in my neighborhood. But in the job, there's definitely a place where gossip can sneak in easily. And I think we've probably all seen it, where the gossip mill or the rumor mill can sneak in. And people will spread gossip about anything that comes up. It could be work-related. It could be, or it could be very personal about someone else. Hey, did you hear this person's doing this? Or did you hear this person did that? Or did you hear this person's having that problem? Those types of things come up. That's the kind of stuff that we know explicitly is not something we are supposed to be a part of. There are scriptures. 1 Timothy 5 is a scripture that talks about that we're not supposed to be a part of that. So that is something we should not be a part of. We talked about how a Christian should have their families and their children well run, under control, and to be a good influence. And then where we dropped off last week, we didn't get to this point. This is a new one. This is where we're going to go to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 19. Romans 12. If someone would be willing to read, let's see. We're going to go to Romans 12. read 19 through 21. Is there someone that could read that for us? Christianity takes a beating these days in our media, and they have managed to turn our religion into they've managed to turn it, or at least to frame us, as being a lot more combative than Christians ever should be. They make Christians out to be the negative, right? Because we're intolerant, and they try to put us on the same level as other religions. Especially Islam, to where, you know, or Judaism, where you've got Christianity, Islam, Judaism, they're all the same, they're all militant, you know, they all fight. And really, that's not the case with Christianity. And I think one of the things that people have to learn about Christianity in the world, and I think it's a battle, that one of the battles we have to fight is that we are different. Christianity is a much different religion than especially Islam. As far as just being a peaceful religion. And we are taught throughout the New Testament that Christianity is a religion of peace. We're taught to love our neighbors and to give to our neighbors and to go the second mile. One of the ways we can teach others around us is to have these characteristics in ourselves. And if you have interaction with other people outside of the church regularly, you're going to have an opportunity. If you spend every day with people, you're going to have an opportunity to make enemies. The devil's going to give us opportunities to make enemies in the world. People are going to do things to us in the job. People are going to do things to us in the neighborhood, in the community, that we will have an opportunity to respond to. What does the Bible teach us that we should do when we are crossed? What should our reaction be? Turn the other cheek. That's right. Should we pay them back? Don't return evil for evil. That's what we just read, right? So when we do that, that can raise some eyebrows. You know, when we, especially in the job, if something happens to us at work that is very negative, someone does something to us, maybe it's a political thing, or maybe they backstab us. You know, it could be a long list of things people can do to you in the job that would make you want to get back at them. In a way that would be, you know, open the door to the devil. And that's what this is talking about, is not giving the devil a way to sneak in. But if we respond to that in the way that this is talking about, would that raise some eyebrows in today's world? Certainly would. Would it not? I mean, because, you know, eventually, you know, people think, well, they're going to get back. They'll get back at them somehow. They'll repay that evil with evil in return. So practice, one of the things Brother Winkler says here is practice second mile religion. And I like that phrase. So we've got to, though. So these are some things we need to avoid, the list of things we need to avoid. We need to avoid the gossip and the backstabbing and the domestic problems. We need to try to avoid the problems. Let's talk about some things we should have. Some ideals that we should have in our community. Let's talk about our speech. Let's turn to Titus 2. Titus 2, verse 7. I would like to read, who has the King James Version? I'd like to read King James, and I'd like to read the English Standard Version as well, if we could read both of those. Yeah, Titus 2, 7 and 8. Yeah, let's do chapter 2. That's a good one, too.
In all things, showing thyself in pattern
So I like the way that's worded, showing gravity. And I like that word, what it really means. Let's talk about what that really means. And the version that I like to use, the English Standard Version, which is one of our versions that is a word-for-word translation that we use now, uses a word, dignity, there. I like that word as well. Let me read you the version that I have, which is, show yourselves in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Having nothing evil to say about us. So this is an interesting lesson. This is a good lesson for me, I think. And anytime you teach these lessons, I hope, you know, that you, when you teach a class, that you try to get something out of it for yourself. I think this is a good lesson for all of us, because there is a line of behavior, of speech, that you can cross. But the thing is that line is different with different people. There are some words that are offensive to some people and are not offensive to others. Is that not true? There are some words, my mother's here today, there are some words I got in trouble for saying that you can say that, you know, when I was growing up, that many of us would not find offensive, but my mother found those words offensive. We weren't allowed to say those. I'm not going to list them because she's here. But there is a line there. So I knew where that line was, and that line was pretty low, you know, when I was growing up. There were just some words that we did not say in the house, even though they were common words, a little off color, but they're common words. There's some words that we know you can't say, right? There's some things that you should never say, and those are clear. But then there is that gray line. Well, this verse here says we shouldn't give anybody any reason to do what? To say anything evil about us, right? Say anything negative about us. So if there's ever a word, if it feels the least bit offensive, shouldn't even come out of our mouth, should it? We should never even consider it. We should keep that line as low as we can so that we don't cross it. Because we don't ever want anybody to say, well, yeah, he goes to character to Christ, but he's kind of off color, isn't he? That was kind of offensive. These words could be sexual words. They could be racist type words. They could be just foul language. It applies to jokes that are dirty, off-color jokes. It applies to even laughing at things that are off-color, if we come across as being condemning, as condoning those types of things. So we have to be very, very careful. And there is no way, if you're very careful and don't ever cross that line, you won't ever offend anyone. There might be people that will turn their nose up at you and say, oh, goody two-shoes Christian. You know, there will be some persecution involved. But for the most part, you're not going to hear anybody say anything negative if you don't ever cross that line. And I think what we've got to do as Christians is we've got to push that line lower. So we've got to push that line to where it's never something that we would be accused of. And again, I think this is a lesson for all of us. Show yourselves in all respects to be a model of good works. In other words, a good influence. In other words, a representation of good works. And then in your teaching, show integrity and dignity and sound speech. Now, I've kind of harped on the speech thing, but the integrity and dignity apply as well, especially in the job world today. We have opportunities, many opportunities, to lose our integrity. Now, most of you may know or you may not know, I'm a sales rep, so I'm a salesman. So, and we're just one step better than lawyers, which are, you know, the worst, right? They're the worst, and then you have sales reps. And I have a customer who anytime I give him pricing or anything, he tells me I should just go get my plaid jacket back out of the closet, because I'm nothing more than a used car salesman. You know, so he assumes, because I'm a sales rep, that I have no integrity. I'm trying to rip him off, is what he assumes at all times. So, and that is, you know, that is something that is very, very difficult to deal with sometimes as a sales rep. If you, it's not that hard, actually, to be a Christian sales rep, to be a Christian salesperson. It's not that hard because you have, we have things that are honest, we have things that are dishonest. I am given the opportunity to be dishonest all the time. I can, for example, I can say to my customer, this is the best price you can get on this product, period. That's the best I can do. When I know back in my head, I could give him a better price than that. That would be low integrity, right? Now, there is ways customers learn. I have found that you will be more successful if you'll be honest. You'll be more successful if you'll be honest. People actually will respect that. Your customers will, especially. People out of pressure decide to make bad decisions. But I have learned that you can be a good Christian sales rep and be successful at it. You can actually have your customers believe you when they tell you things if you prove it to them that you're going to, if you prove to them over time that you're going to be honest. So we've got to have that integrity. It actually pays off for us, but it pays off for us as Christians as well. Chris. Yeah. We're going to buy this today, right? Yeah. That's right. That's right. People respect that. I really do believe that people respect that, even in this day of now. You know, there might be cases where my boss would like me to tell a lie if it means I could get a sale versus not get a sale. You know, my boss has a pretty good level of integrity, but there are times when he says, "Hey, say this or say that," and I'm thinking about, and I say, "Yeah, no, that's not the case. Let's just tell him the truth. You know, let's just be frank." You know, being frank is a nice way of saying, let's be honest. You know, let's just be frank. Tell them what the situation is and, you know, and let them make their decision. And that's worked out well. That's worked out well. Now, I'm not a sales manager, though. I'm not in management. I'm not moving up the corporate ladder. You know, maybe these are some of the things that are getting in the way of doing that. But again, I don't have the stress and heartache that those people have either. So that's a good thing. So, this idea of our speech is very, very important. So the writer here, Brother Winkler, lists cursing, jesting, filthy speech, idle words, gossip, and he also lists fault finding and hypercriticism as ways in that our speech could be negative or be such that it should not be named as part of the children of God. So, very good lessons on speech there. There are a couple other things that he lists here that we need to think about with our influence in the community is how we dress. And let's look at Timothy 2. I believe it's 1 Timothy. Let's see. I thought I had written down which one it was, and I don't see it. And again, someone with King James read this. Can you read this one too? 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10.
In like manner, also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness,
So I like the way that's worded, and it says in like manner in verse 9. My version says likewise. So in like manner. So he says also that women should adorn themselves. Now, he's going back from talking about men should pray, lift up holy hands, which Nathan talked about the other day, which means, you know, lifting up our hands. In other words, lifting up our a message to God that is proper without anger or quarreling. In other words, we should be respectful. And he's saying women should be respectful. They should be respectful. We should all be respectful in the way we look. My version says respectable apparel. Modesty, self-control, not with braided hair, gold or pearls, costly attire, but what is proper for women who profess godliness and good works. The words there that come out to me are respectful and proper. And I believe, and I think we all believe or recognize, that if a woman is going to be pleasing to God by dressing this way in a respectful and proper way, that certainly a man's not going to be pleasing to God if he dresses in a way that's disrespectful or improper. So we know this applies to both men and women. He's making a point here about the way women should dress in the worship. But, you know, we know this applies to all of us. We know common sense tells us that it applies to all of us. So again, dress in a way, our parents should be in a way, and we talked about this a little bit last week about cleanliness and taking care of ourselves, but also dressing in a way that doesn't bring reason for people to accuse us of anything. So we should not be in a place where people can look at us and say, oh, Carrie Church of Christ, that's what they do. And again, this is a battle we fight. You know, this is a battle that we can fight, but we can easily win. We want to be people to want to be members here, and we want people to know that we're different. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Again, if you have any comments, let me know. Well, it's different to different people. That is a problem. Yeah, but right. That's right. I mean, you know, and there's extremes, of course. Right? I mean, you know, there's the way the Quakers dress, and we don't dress like they do. But at the same time, are they offending anyone? Could they be accused of dressing immodestly, you know, or dressing in an evil way? And the answer is no. I think we have to look at this, and we have to look at the way we dress, and we have to say, am I going to cause anyone to stumble or anyone to look negatively upon me as a Christian? Because we're representing Jesus Christ. So I think we have to look at that. It's a battle we fight. You know, it's a battle we fight, you know, when we have kids, and we have to take control. We have to be in control of this. So I think it's something that's very important. I think it's something we definitely cannot ignore. And again, I'm all for putting that bar lower and lower. Let's push it down so that it's hard, you know. I guess we're raising the bar, making it hard to cross. But the idea is that I think we've got to make our standards as high as we can. Yes. Right. That's right. And it is a battle it's a harder battle, I think, for young people, maybe because, you know, they have just stronger influences. You know, we don't, as someone in their late 40s, I don't have someone in the national media that I would look up to that makes me want to dress immodestly. You know, the media is just not reaching out to me anymore. For some reason, they've left me behind. I think we all know why that is. But, you know, my daughters, you know, they have that battle. You know, there are examples out there. And I believe that we have to be good examples here. But I think also another thing we have to teach is that our examples should be in the congregation. And I think our kids tend to, and you know, it's a global world now. It's a global world from the media standpoint. You know, we can see anybody's dressed anywhere in the world. Any media person, any celebrity, any entertainer, you can see where they're dressed. You can see what they wore last night in a concert in Rome, Italy. You know, you can go see what someone wore in their concert. You can go look that up. And so our kids have the ability to be influenced by that. But what they should be looking for is influence here. They should be reaching out to influence here. And I think we need to teach them that their influences really are in the church and need to be in the church. Jim? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, we have to teach them where that line is, and you know, they have to learn what's proper and improper. And I think our kids have to learn. You know, they need to be taught that. And I think it's a great lesson for us to teach. You know, that not only, you know, you have to decide this for yourself. Just a second, you have to decide this. You have to decide it based on what's proper and what's not going to be offensive. But I think our kids have to learn that as well. You know, they have to learn what's going to be offensive and not offensive. And I think, unfortunately, they learn it in the wrong places, from the wrong people at times. And where I think they ought to be learning it is here. Ozzie? Right, right. I think I think another point to be made about this passage that we read here in Timothy is that, you know, it does mention modesty, but if you look at what, you know, the passage spends a lot of time on a proper dress, appropriate dress, not necessarily just modest dress. It spends, you know, he harps a lot, you know, he's talking about dressing in a way that's flamboyant as well, which is another lesson we have to learn, and our kids have to learn. There are influences there that teach, you know, out there that teach either expensive dress or a lot of jewelry or dressing in a way that is just flamboyant. In other words, bringing attention to themselves. And what we're all about is bringing attention to Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. You know, we shouldn't be dressing in a way that says, wow, look at what he's got on. You know, that must be a $1,000 Italian suit. Wow, that's nice. You know, that's not the point. I mean, we should not be dressing in a way that has people look at us and say, I mean, people should look at us and think, Christian. They should look, you know, when they see what we have on, when they see the way we're dressed, when they look at us, they should think, Jesus Christ. is in that person when they see that person. You know, so that could apply to whether you're modest or not. It could apply to whether or not you have the Budweiser T-shirt on. It could apply to whether or not, you know, you have on the $2,000 Italian suit. You know, that also applies here. Somebody else had their hand up. Jim? Well, at least it'll be you this week and not me. It was me last week, so go ahead. Right, right, right. Or the way you try to force that on others. Right. Exactly. So I'm going to take the last 5 minutes here and fly through the rest of this lesson, because I want to make these points, and it'll make each of you think, make each of us think about these points. And then, because next week we're going to talk about our influence in the church. So we're going to we're going to take a little bit of a turn here. Instead of talking about our influence out of the church, what we've been talking about, we're going to be talking about the influence that we have actually inside the body of Christ. So we'll start on that next week. So anyway, we talked about speech, the way we dress. We talked about not making enemies. One of the next lessons he talks about is not giving an opportunity to the devil, which is in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:26 talks about not being angry and giving an opportunity for the devil. Watch your temper. Christians should watch their habits. And, you know, we can all have, there are all kinds of negative habits you can have. You could be, you know, it's not just smoking and drinking. There are other habits you could have that could be deemed negative. Or something that does not exude Jesus Christ. You know, maybe your habit is materialism. Maybe your habit is lying. Maybe your habit is, you know, not being a good steward of your things. There are all kinds of things that you could be, that you could have a bad habit on. And then he talks about the Christian must be responsible living within his means. In other words, a Christian should not be someone who does not take care of themselves and is not a good steward of their own money, the money that God's given us, to the point that we have all these problems that people have. We should be able to take care of ourselves and be a good influence in that way. So the church is then, there are some characteristics then of the church in Jerusalem. And if you read Acts chapter 2, you know, that's where the church was started. On the day of Pentecost is in Acts chapter 2. Towards the end of the chapter, the church is started, it grows, and they grow very close. Let's look at some of these characteristics that they have that we should have as a church. In other words, what kind of lives did the early church members live that resulted in the good influence that they had? And obviously they had a very good influence in their community because they grew like crazy in those first few weeks of the existence. They were steadfast. They were worshipful. And again, this goes back to habits. Do we have a habit of going to worship? Do people know when they see us? Oh, there they go. Wonder where they're going. Oh, well, it's 9 o'clock on Sunday. We know where the Moors are going. You know, do they know why we go on Wednesday nights? You know, people know that we do that. People know that we're going to be up here on the weekends or in the evenings doing other works. The habits, church can be a habit, our congregation, and it can be a habit that other people see. Again, not for other people, not that we're trying to boast about ourselves, but it's something people can see. The church was united. The church was benevolent and unselfish. And that means they took care of each other in the New Testament. They were happy, and they talk about that. You know, a long face, always dressed in black church member lowers their influence on those around us. You know, we're not supposed to be stirring. We're the people who have the hope in the world. People should see us and recognize that. And that was actually in the lesson about our jobs as well. People should look at us and recognize that we have something that people don't have, that people need. And that's our salvation. And we have that relationship with God. They were evangelistically zealous. They were prayerful. They loved each other. And then they were genuinely converted to Christ. So these characteristics are characteristics we should have that people should see. And we should see, we should know, people should know. When they hear us talk about our church, they should know that we love each other and that we take care of each other. People should not hear us say things. I'm talking about people outside of our church should not hear us say things that are negative about our church. That was another lesson I was taught. I remember going home, since Mom's here, I'm reminded of these things. I remember going home once, and I had a friend that had come to church with me. We were going home, and I think either I didn't like the song leader or I didn't like the sermon. And I remember saying something about it in the car. And then once we dropped my friend off, my mom turned around and said, "Don't ever complain about the church in front of others ever again." Not because it wasn't true, not because the song leader was good that day, I don't remember, or the preacher did preach too long, I don't remember. The point was, you know, we don't need to air dirty laundry about the church in front of others. You know, we need to, those outside of the church need to know what is good about the church, and we have these things, these characteristics. So let's not say negative things about the church and about our congregation in front of others who we're trying to be to influence to come here. And finally, the church then needs that type of influence as well. So we're going to talk about next week about our influence inside the church. But let's keep in mind that if you have one of these books, there's a poem at the end of this chapter. I'm not going to read all of it, but just the first line, and that says, "I am my neighbor's Bible." And that is that people look at us, people who do not have the word and do not have the relationship with Christ, look at us, and we are their influence. We are the Bible to them. We are spreading the word, so the word is coming out of us. We either spread it in a way that makes them want to hear it and come here and be a part of it, or we spread other things that don't make them want to be a part of it. So let's keep in mind that when people read us, they are reading about the Bible and about the church. Thank you very much for your comments today, and we will talk about the church next week.